program. I am Kristen Congdon. I'm back to MC for a little while, and we are about to start the award ceremony for the Fiddlers Association, and I'm here to introduce Dave Borland, who is currently the president of the Florida Fiddlers Association. Dave.
Thanks a lot. Every year, as part of the Folk Festival, the Florida State Fiddlers Association coordinates the state legislated fiddle contest. In Florida, there's a state soils in the statute. As well, there's a state fiddlers contest, and we had that today. For the last 17 years, the Florida State Fiddlers Association has been an active part in maintaining the folk traditions in Florida. Florida has a large heritage and tradition of fiddling. You might think of it as being a mountain situation, but the pioneers were not of a different stock in a lot of cases across this part of the region. And their fiddling traditions came along with them. As a living folk life activity is fiddling, over the last 17 years, I think we've learned that no matter what sort of occurs in the country and what happens around in our communities, that that the folk ways are always maintained at certain points. We're bombarded by different other influences as well, but those folk ways still maintain, and we need to help and preserve them no matter really what the political climate or what the community situation is. We're going to bring out the winners. We had the contest today, and we're going to bring out the winners to have a little extra recognition, the first, second, and third place winners in the four categories. And to help us do that, we're going to bring out Secretary of State Sandra Mortham.
Thank you very much, Dave. The fiddle contest held here at the annual Florida Folk Festival is the official Florida State Fiddle Contest, and fiddlers literally from all over the state competed earlier today. And the winners in each of the four categories have the honor of being the state's very best fiddlers, and we are so, so pleased they're here. Now we're going to start with the youth category, and we're going to start with the third place, and then we'll go to second, and we'll go to first, and we have four categories, and I hope that you'll come out and you'll bring your fiddle with you. Third place is Tommy Slaughter. Tommy, are you here? He's not here. Second place is Seamus Murphy from Coconut Creek. And first place is Cyrus Carowin of Tarpon Springs. Come on up here, Cyrus. Stay with us. The twin fiddle category, third place, was Tommy Slaughter and Trenton Slaughter of Trenton, Florida. Second place was, this one's tough, Ian Malinowski, and Kathy Augard of Tarpon Springs in Tampa. And first place was David Swanson and Lloyd Baldwin of Athens, Georgia and Branford, Florida. Are you here?
Good.
And our contemporary category, third place, was Deb Gilman of Beverly Hills, Florida. Second place, Judd Taylor of Valrico. And first place is Bethany Borg of Marianna. Congratulations. And our last category is traditional. Third place was Sharon McGinnis of Lake Mary. Second place, David Swanson of Athens, Georgia. And first place is Lloyd Baldwin of Branford. Congratulations to all of you. You've got the stage.
A little mix of styles and things, but we're going to play it on a tune called Soldier's Joy that's fairly common.
How many times?
Ready? All right, here we go. Thanks a lot.
You can't count. Can I get a picture with all of you?
Sure.
Hey,
come
back.
Come here.
Let's go.
Oh, look at his sound. Oh, sound.
Yeah. Okay. Over here. I want to try to get this on the website for the Department of State. Let's see how we can do this.
Sure.
That wouldn't be me. Yeah, there you go.
If you'll stick with us for just a few minutes, we're going to move our Heritage Award winners out on stage, and then we'll start that ceremony.
On the railroad line, it's a part of the soul. Of the boy who's raised on the railroad line. Well, there's a new paved road that cuts the forest to the bone. Slices through the woods like there ain't nobody home. You can drive right up to Valley View, never feel the climb. But I take the old trail every time. Well, the old trail moseys right along, moves at the speed of a sweet love song, and the wind through the trees carries its own wind chimes. So I take the old trail every time. Lately it seems things vanish by degrees. How soon we forget we build our tree houses out of trees. When we gonna realize some reasons just don't rhyme. I take the old trail every time. Well, the old trail, may she never fade. One where the deer always have the right of way. Oh, I love to watch the winter green along the timber line. So I take the old trail every time. Cars, let the radio do the talking, but I always find I'm singing while I'm walking on the old trail. Mosey's right along, moves at the speed of a sweet love song, and the wind through the trees carries its own wind chimes, so I take the old trail every time. Yep, I take the old trail every time. She said she'd look real classy, make me proud of her, if I would only break down by her little fur. That made me start to think, how could I swing this kind of deal? Lord knows I can't afford it, and I sure ain't gonna steal. But the problem solved itself like a burst out of the blue. It jumped right out in front of me on Highway 92. This big old German shepherd, my car he did not see. Now he's in doggy heaven, but his hide belongs to me. Well, I worked out in the garage almost every night. It was mostly trial and error, but I finally got it right. I put it in a cardboard box, I carried it in to her. Lord, she had a running fit when she saw her fur.
Oh, honey.
Now she's got a fuzzy fur coat that reaches to her knees, but she's been complaining lately, says the closet's full of fleas. What she don't know is Fido is wrapped around her tight. She's putting on.
Okay, we're ready to begin the ceremony for the Florida Folk Heritage Awards, which is probably one of the most exciting events that I have ever had the opportunity to be a part of. I'm Kristen Congdon. I am the chair of the Florida Folklife Council, and it is truly an honor to be able to talk to you today about the Heritage Awards and what they mean to our state. These Florida Folk Heritage Awards are like the National Heritage Awards. They recognize outstanding folk artists and folk cultural advocates for the state of Florida. The awards are presented annually by the Secretary of State in cooperation with the Florida Folklife Council, and they reflect profound community and peer appreciation and esteem. The individuals that will be receiving these awards today are truly experts in their own particular folk craft or honor for which they received the award. I'd like to introduce to you the members of the Florida Folklife Council. We have a few of them here on stage with us today. Johnny Bullard, if you'd stand, from Jasper. Oh, excuse me. Okay, Hot Springs. White Springs. He doesn't want Jasper. White Springs, he says. Okay. And Wayne Martin, who is from Bluntstown. And Howard Pardue, who's from Tallahassee. And missing right now is Mr. James Billy, who is from Hollywood, from the Seminole Tribe of Florida. And also Barbara Sheen Todd, who's from Kansas City, Florida. And that's it, right? I also want to introduce notable other guests, other Folk Heritage Award recipients from other years. I understand that there are many of them here at the festival with us today. And if you are here, if you would please stand and be recognized. Curly Deakle, Nancy Morgan, Betty Mae Jumper, Frank and Ann Thomas, Jean and Bill Hewitt, George Custard, Kazuko Law, and Margaret Horvath. If you are here, please stand and accept our applause and appreciation. And if there's anyone else I forgot, we honor you too. It's now my pleasure to introduce to you the Secretary of State, Sandra Mortham, who is going to announce the 1998 award recipients.
Thank you very, very much, Kristen. And before I do announce the award recipients, I would just like to have all of us here today that are enjoying the Folk Festival thank some very, very special people, because this would not be possible if it weren't for a lot of different individuals that have come together and worked real hard. The first group that I do want to recognize, and Kristen did recognize them already, is the Florida Folklife Council. They've worked throughout the year, and they've got lots of great ideas, work on lots of different programs, but one of their programs is this festival each and every year. So let's give them a round of applause again, because they work very, very well. Another group of people that I can assure you have the best, this is going to be a tough mic, have the best in mind for all of you throughout the year, and it takes almost a year to get this festival together, is my staff in the Department of State. And we have a lot of our staff people from the Division of Historical Resources that are here today. I know that George Percy is over here on my right. Raise your hand, George. I know that you're hiding a little bit. We've got Teresa Hollingsworth. Teresa, raise your hand. I saw Kathy Ongeron here just a little bit ago. She's with the Cultural Affairs Department. Ken Crawford has been running all over. I'm not sure where Ken is at the moment. But, there he is, way in the back. And all of them are very, very dedicated state employees, and they work hard to make this festival great, and I think they deserve a great big hand, too. And then the last group, which is probably the most important group, are the volunteers. Many of you are right here in this audience, and without the literally hundreds of volunteers that come here each and every year, come early and stay late and make sure the job gets done, I want to thank you on behalf of the state of Florida for all that you do for the Folk Festival. Thank you very much. And now, for 12 years, the state of Florida has awarded Florida's Folk Heritage Awards to the Floridians whose lifelong devotion to folk arts has enriched our state's cultural legacy. Like the National Heritage Awards, the Florida Folk Heritage Awards, the Florida Folk Heritage Awards recognize authenticity, excellence, and significance within the traditional arts and honors our most significant and influential traditional artists. I'm very, very pleased to announce the recipients of this year's 1998 Florida Folk Heritage Awards. We have Mr. Henry John Billy of Clewiston, if you would raise your hand. Mrs. Ola Cryway of Titusville. Mr. J.L. McMullen of Live Oak. And then we have two individuals that are ill and not able to be with us, but we have somebody very special that's here, Dr. Stephen Stempel, that are going to accept the awards for Mr. Llewellyn Roberts of Miami and Mr. Manuel Vega of Miami. And now we have Kristen Congdon, who is going to give you more information about each of our wonderful recipients. Kristen?
We're going in alphabetical order. Henry John Billy. Henry John Billy is an elder of the Seminole Tribe of Florida, and he's a master carver of cypress dugout canoes. He was born in Chokoloskee, and he's a member of the Wind Clan of the Muskogee people, whose ancestors are the ancestors of the Seminoles. People in the Wind Clan have the responsibility, you should know, for keeping and transmitting the most important traditions and rituals of the culture. The term Muskogee means people of the swampy ground, which is appropriate because of the marshlands that they inhabit. The dugout canoes made by the Seminole and the Muskogee tribe before them are unique among the North American Indian canoe styles. They are powered by long-footed poles rather than the short paddles that most of us are used to thinking about when we think about canoes. Henry John Billy is one of the only a few Seminoles who still makes and uses this type of canoe today. While he learned to make the traditional canoes from his grandfathers, who learned from their grandfathers, this knowledge is coupled with a keen understanding of wood and the river of grass environment he successfully navigates his canoes through. Mr. Billy makes shorter, narrower canoes for solitary hunting trips and longer, wider ones, which were the kinds of canoes that were used by entire families so that they could trap and take and transport alligators, otters, and beaver hides to trading posts. According to Pat Whitman, who nominated him for this award, Henry John Billy, and I quote, is not merely proficient, he is elegant. When Henry John takes a canoe out in the water, he is truly the master of his element. Please join me in congratulating Mr. Henry John Billy as a 1998 Florida Folk Heritage Award winner. Mr. Billy.
Mr. Billy, you want to come forward? On behalf of the governor of the state of Florida and the entire cabinet, we want to recognize you for your master artist in the tradition of Seminole wood carving. You've done a wonderful job.
Well, thank you for removing me. And I had a little story, but it's a long story, so I'll make it short. Well, I was born, and we at the Saltwater Swamp, which is Chokoloskee, that area. So back in 1925. So only we have a transportation for the canoe, dugout canoe. So I don't know how I had like this, but it's thank you for that rewarded me. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be Seminole. So thank you.
Thank you.
Ola Cryway. I was first introduced to Byzantki, which are Ukrainian Easter eggs, when I lived in Eugene, Oregon, doing my doctoral work in art over 15 years ago. And I was so enthralled with the Oregon artist who created the Byzantki eggs that I probably have shown slides of her to people all over the country at least 50 times. And so it's really thrilling to me to meet another master artist, and this time one from my home state. I can now talk about Ola Cryway all over the country. Ola Cryway is from Titusville. When she dyes her eggs, she uses the Ukrainian method, which is centuries old. This is the way she's been creating exquisitely beautiful eggs for 60 years. She grew up in an immigrant family where she learned the techniques and symbols for decorating these eggs. On Easter morning, these eggs were taken to a church, they were blessed, and then they were given away to friends as love offerings. The symbols on these eggs are important, as symbols are with many different kinds of folk arts, because it's through these images that a heritage, a story, is told. For example, a ribbon around an egg means eternity. A rooster, as the messenger of light, is the symbol of Christ, and a butterfly on an egg means resurrection. Byzantki, for those of you who don't know, is a wax-resist method. It's like batik, only it's done on eggshells, with many different layers of dye baths. And the result is an elaborate, detailed design. Mrs. Cryway was awarded a Folk Master Apprenticeship Award in 1992-93. And when applying for this award, one of her support letters stated, and I quote, "Her precious keepsakes are cherished by collectors in Mexico, Canada, and Russia, as well as in the United States." Should also note that not only does she create these beautiful eggs, but she's also a collector of these eggs. And I understand that she has some Byzantki eggs in her possession, which are 100 years old. Mrs. Ola Cryway, we are delighted to honor you with this Florida Heritage Award today.
Ola, on behalf of the governor and the entire cabinet, we wish to honor you today, and we're so very pleased that you're able to join us in helping to celebrate the Florida Folk Heritage Awards. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for this award. I also want to thank the state of Florida for having the foresight to be able to help create and to encourage and to continue these cultures, which makes our country colorful and important all over the world. Thank you again. Now, we know that culture is important in a person's life, just as food is to the body. One needs some hyacinths for the soul. Thank you.
That was beautifully said. Thank you. J.L. McMullen. We're here today to celebrate the 46th annual Florida Folk Festival, largely because of a few individuals who more than 46 years ago thought it would be a good idea for people of all kinds to come together to celebrate our good fortune to live in this incredibly beautiful state with its rich folk heritage. One of those insightful, determined individuals is Mr. J.L. McMullen from Live Oak. Let me read to you from his words from this festival stage in 1997. And I quote, "Born across the river in walking distance from White Springs, I romped through the hammocks, spring heads, visited Indian mounds, would swim in the cool springs, and fish along the banks of the historic and famous Suwannee River. During my teenage years, I shared many moonlit nights on these grounds, cooking and eating chicken from an open-top iron kettle. I chopped wood from stumps and broke limbs from trees to kindle the fire, and Fatty Purvis would cook the chicken. His love for this space and our shared traditions came early. About the first festival, he said, on a makeshift stage and wood bleachers, folklore lovers from all over Florida gathered to perform with voices and instruments and to share their wares. We had no problem, he notes, getting performers. Unfortunately, we don't have any problem these days either. We have so much talent here. We are here today to honor Mr. McMullen as one of the founders of the festival. In true folklore fashion, we honor a life dedicated to folk culture. J.L. McMullen has been a farmer, a forester, and a producer of canned and frozen foods, as well as serving as clerk of the circuit court from 1937 to 1949. He became famous for processing the country's first cream-type southern peas, which are better known as White Acre peas. He was instrumental in forming the Suwannee River Valley Growers Association, which supports agriculture in a 5-county area. This is a man who not only began this historic and important festival, but someone who has given a lifetime of work in preserving the folk ways of North Florida agriculture. We are indeed honored to have Mr. J.L. McMullen with us here today, and we honor you, sir, with this prestigious Folk Heritage Award.
On behalf of the governor and the entire cabinet, I would again like to thank one more person. We thanked a number of people for allowing the Folk Festival to happen, but J.L. McMullen was an originator of this Folk Festival, so I think that he is certainly very, very deserving of this award this year. Thank you, Mr. McMullen.
Appearing on this stage last year as we celebrated the 45th. I didn't realize that I'd be back now. I wish to thank Johnny Bullard for going out on a limb and recommending me for consideration. The Folklore Council for its involvement and recommendation to Secretary of State and to the Secretary of State, Sandra Martham, for appointing me to, giving me this award along with the others who are being honored yet this evening. There are many others that were involved in initiating and founding the Florida Folk Festival Association in 1953. I can remember a few of the names: Foster Barnes, who was curator, Ms. Lillian Saunders, Lassie Black, Cousin Thelma Bolden, former Governor Kerry Hardee, Helen Bixler, who served as officers in forming the first folk festival. And of course, it was handled under the leadership of Gertrude Knott, a former president of the National Folk Festival Association, who directed our first folk festival. So to all of them, I join with you in deep appreciation for all of those who have contributed to this cause. Among those that have includes two people. Excuse me, that are here tonight, that was here 45 years ago, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 1953, when we had the performances on a little wood stage not too far from here. My wife Kitty of 63 years. My daughter Jill, who at the time, excuse me, who at the time was only 7 years old, but she was taking dancing lessons. And occasionally between acts, to keep the crowd from leaving us, she'd run to the stage and do a little ballet dancing. Jill, stand up. Jill, stand up. One of the first performers, and Kitty sitting over to my left, and my sister Helen Cribbs. So it's a real honor and a privilege, a great honor to receive this, and I do so on behalf of all of those who have made the Florida Folk Festival what it is today. May it continue forever here on the banks of the Suwannee River. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure, you don't want to dance for us, Jill?
She's going to pass.
Okay. Mr. Llewellyn Roberts. Mr. Llewellyn Roberts is a Trinidadian carnival masquerade expert from Miami. Born in 1922 in St. Joseph, Trinidad, he came to New York in 1970 and to Miami in 1979. Bringing with him the traditions he learned from his community and his father, who was a carnival masquerader, Mr. Roberts has worked with other Trinidadians to establish a carnival tradition in his West Indian community. Today, the carnival on Columbus Day weekend is one of the largest in the West Indian diaspora, and Mr. Roberts has remained an elder advisor. In 1936, Mr. Roberts played with the USSS Mischievous, famous band from the Port of Spain's Belmont neighborhood. Along with the other band members, he wore a sailor uniform with a long nose shaped like a bird's beak or an airplane or a ship. Later, he began to play Midnight Robber, which is a carnival character who dresses in black and carries a weapon, which is usually a sword or a gun, and delivers elaborate speeches full of humorous yet intimidating imagery, which is traditional Caribbean performance. Llewellyn Roberts continues to build on the rhetoric and character of carnival characters, eventually joining a robber band called the Midnight Toilers, and later producing his own historical bands. During these performing years, Mr. Roberts was also learning to bend and twist and shape a variety of materials to create a variety of carnival costumes, eventually becoming extremely proficient at making these carnival costumes. And he's made them then for leading carnival acts. Mr. Roberts joined the Carnival Development Committee in the 1960s and began judging masquerade competitions. Continually, he has done what all responsible folk artists do, and that is teach their heritage to others. Because of his health, Mr. Llewellyn Roberts could not join us today, but Dr. Steve Stempley is here to accept this 1998 Florida Folk Heritage Award on his behalf. Steve?
Steve, thank you so much for accepting this on behalf of Mr. Roberts, on behalf of the governor and the entire cabinet. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yes, I spoke with Mr. Roberts just a couple of days ago on the telephone. He was so disappointed about not being able to come. He talked for about a week or two about whether he could make it and finally decided it just wasn't going to be possible. But he asked me to convey his thanks to all of you present. He really cherishes this award and will continue to do what he can to support the carnival tradition in Miami and throughout the West Indian world. Thank you.
Mr. Manuel Vega. Mr. Vega was at the festival in 1996 as a recipient of the Florida Apprenticeship Awards program. I hope that most of you were able to visit with him then. He was set up in the crafts area where we were able to enjoy his traditional Cuban bird cages and kites. They are clearly masterpieces, and he is truly an expert in these and other folk traditions. And I say this because so many of the Folk Heritage Award winners are able to do numerous kind of traditional things. He's well known for his mastery of festival arts, such as floats, costumes, fireworks, and farolas, which are decorative lanterns made by carnival dancers. His bird cages can be quite elaborate. They're probably like no other bird cages I've ever seen. In Mr. Vega's native Cuba, people enjoy keeping songbirds on their patios where they teach them to sing tunes. When Mr. Vega came to Miami, he continued to construct these traditional wooden bird cages. Mr. Vega's Cuban and Chinese style kites are traditionally flown by young boys in Cuba, Key West, or in Ybor City. Young boys would compete to see who would make the best kite. He has so mastered this art that one of his Chinese style kites was exhibited at the Chicago's Field Museum. According to Bob Stone, who nominated Manuel Vega for this award, he is highly revered by his South Florida Cuban-American community. And again, Mr. Vega couldn't be with us today for health reasons, and Steve Stempley is here to not only accept this award on Mr. Vega's behalf, but to carry back to him our sincere thanks for making so many lives more colorful, joyful, and rooted in Cuban folklore. Steve?
Steve, again, on behalf of the governor and the cabinet, we want to thank Mr. Vega. I remember his work very well for his master artistry in the tradition of Cuban art. Thank you so much.
And on behalf of Mr. Vega, who I went by and visited last week, he was busy at work on some new bird cages. So even though his health is not the best, he continues this tradition. He also asked me to convey his sincere thanks for this wonderful honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us for this wonderful ceremony. We'd like to invite anyone who would like to join us for the reception at the top of the hill in the auditorium. It will start as soon as we move the Heritage Award winners up there, and you might like to stop in, have something to drink, a little bit to eat, and also meet these wonderful people and thank them for what they have done for us in the state of Florida. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Like an old faded road map, the lines on his face did a little or nothing to explain about what was coming from around the next corner. He said, Dave, could you spare me some change? As he stood up to reach for my last dollar bill, I took a good long look at my buddy Paul. He stopped at the doorway, he sat down his guitar, then he wrote a little number on the wall.
The exciting occasion, I believe, for all of us. This day has been a long time coming and is so very richly deserved. Although we lost Gamble in 1991, I know he's with us in spirit this evening for his induction into the Florida Artists Hall of Fame. I'd like to introduce some very special guests at this time. Joining us for the ceremony is his wife, Nancy Rogers, if you'd come out, Nancy, and Jack Rogers, his brother. I know there are many other people that were dear to Gamble in attendance as well, and welcome to each and every one that's here. I know that you wouldn't have missed this for anything, and we're very, very glad to have you. Spanning a 30-year career and literally thousands of concert engagements throughout the United States as a headline performer, Gamble Rogers was the Florida troubadour, an ambassador of Florida folk. He perpetuated and popularized the traditions of folk music, storytelling, writing, and philosophical humor as few others ever have. Gamble was widely recognized as a guitar virtuoso. He played a pivotal role in the reemergence of the art form of storytelling and inspired legions of other storytellers. He served as a mentor and had a profound influence on numerous young artists. A second-generation Floridian, he was born and raised in Winter Park, Florida, and made St. Augustine his home. His shows usually chronicled stories and songs about the colorful characters that populated his mythical Florida county, Ocklawaha. He gained national prominence through 30 years of appearances at the legendary folk clubs and festivals around this country. He was also a guest commentator and frequent contributor to National Public Radio's All Things Considered. In addition to albums of his music and storytelling, he was the author of several plays for radio, television, and theater. And from 1988 to 1991, he served in an official ambassadorial role for the Florida Division of Tourism and the Florida Folk Festival. We sadly lost this folk genius during his successful attempt to save a drowning swimmer at Flagler Beach. He was awarded a Kiwanis Award for bravery and a Carnegie Award for heroism in recognition of that act. The Gamble Rogers Memorial State Recreation Area at Flagler Beach is named in his honor, as is the Gamble Rogers Middle School in St. Augustine. And that is just a sampling of his life and his contributions. At this time, a few people are going to share with you some Gamble stories and memories. As many of you know, Gamble called reporters the chroniclers of our community destiny. Please join me now in welcoming one of those chroniclers, self-described cracker columnist John Carter of the Daytona Beach News Journal. John?
It is a pleasure to be here in the midst of so many fine folks who love Florida. Many of you Florida natives, just like me. You know, we took the part of Florida that the land rapers and the tourists didn't want, and now our part is the only Florida worth having. If power truly belongs to the people, I'm sure the governor and cabinet won't mind if just for this place and time, we hereby declare this ground to be Ocklawaha County. In fact, after this is over, I'm going to go out and see if I can't find the Terminal Tavern. Order me an ice cold long neck. In my business, there is an old saying that to steal from one person is plagiarism, but to steal from two people is research. I want to share with you some of my research tonight. My part in this is to acknowledge the writing skills of Gamble Rogers and to read to you a passage which, no matter how many times I hear it, has the capacity to melt my heart. Though Gamble delivered these lines as a eulogy for Will McLean, I don't want you to focus on Will, but instead I want you to think about what manner of man could write and say these words with such authority. Gamble said, "For Will McLean knew that what truly separates man from the animals is the capacity for the human heart to stand divided against itself. Time and again, he bore this conflict up to us bravely and shone before us in his nakedness. Often we thought this humbled him, when it was we ourselves who should have been humbled." There's no need for us to dream up similar words for Gamble. Many of us heard him proclaim his epitaph from his own lips, though we foolishly thought it was a one-liner from the stage act. But it is a proclamation damn near Christ-like in its implications. Gamble would say, "I am a trafficker in truth and a pusher of the categorical imperative." Well, my speech started with the Terminal Tavern, and I'm going to end with some Tennyson so I can call it research. I reckon if old Lord Tennyson had grown up here in North Florida, everybody would have called him Outford, and they would have wondered about the boy writing all that poetry. But old Outford can tell us a lot about the capacity of the Florida cracker heart to stand divided against itself and about pushing the categorical imperative. In 1842, after learning of the death of a close friend, he wrote something which calls out to me on this special day for Gamble. "We are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven. That which we are, we are. Made weak, one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield." Thank you. I do have a wonderful additional duty. I'm going to introduce a fifth generation Floridian still living on the land her great grandfather homesteaded here in North Florida. She was the administrative assistant at the Stephen Foster Center program department that produced and directed the annual festival for 30 years, retiring in 1989. She's been a member of the Florida Folklore Society, serving as secretary and newsletter editor. Presently on the board of the Stephen Foster Center's Citizen Support Organization and edits its newsletter, as well as coordinates the annual Suwannee Storytelling Festival. But her main credential for being here today is that she is a close and good friend of Gamble Rogers. I introduce Barbara Beecham.
Good afternoon. My earliest memory of Jim, or Jimmy Rogers of Winter Park, Florida, as he was known in these days, in the early 60s when he first performed at the annual Florida Folk Festival that was held here. Because I was in charge of the stage performers and getting them on stage, and folks kept coming and asking what time Jimmy Rogers was going to be on. Well, this was new to me. I had never noted that any audience was interested in someone playing at the festival, and I found out that even back then he had a following. Florida's black hat troubadour, Will McLean, had wrangled a spot on the program for his good friend Jim Rogers. Will had assured us that Jim would do us proud. Jim was not on time, and we put the next act on stage, and the next. And finally, a long, tall, slim young man dressed in black leather pants, shirts, boots, and a hat came up and in his soft, haltering voice ask for additional time to wait on other musicians in his group to arrive. We continued putting the lineup of performers on the stage, and much later, one of the musicians came and told me they were ready. And Cousin Thelma Bolt, a longtime director and MC of the program, gave him an introduction as a first-time performer, a good friend of Will's, and to make him welcome. Jimmy strode on stage with Thomas Foote of Panama City, who held an upright bass, and Slade Cluett of Winter Park holding a guitar. They spent what I thought was an enormous amount of time passing sass, as Miss Bolton coined this phrase. But then, without a spoken word, they launched into an instrumental piece, and the audience hushed, and from then on, these three young men had the attention of all of those present, including me. Sometime during that set, Jim sang Two Little Boys, and from then on, this became his song. I do not think that a festival ever went by when he did not sing this song at most of the earlier festivals. And many years later, he disclosed that this song was a favorite of his mother's. When the trio came off, a group of followers were there to greet them, and I watched in amazement as they encircled him and swept him back toward the parking lot. This was a scene that I was to witness many times here backstage at the Florida Folk Festival. One summer day, not long after a festival, Miss Bolton and I were in the office working on a program, and there in the doorway, grinning, stood Gamble Rogers, and saying he had just passed through White Springs and decided to stop. He explained that since he had always been here at festival time and it was busy, he wanted to come when nothing was happening and sit on the banks of the Suwannee. He disappeared for the remainder of the day and came back to the office around 5 at closing time. He told us he had walked all over the park, ending up down at the river, and had spent the day there picking his guitar and enjoying the sun in solitude. Cousin Thelma and I often wondered if he composed any of his noted material that day on the river, and we always meant to ask, but as he says, life is something that happens while you're always planning. By 1967, he was playing lead guitar and touring with the nationally known Serendipity Singers, and Slade was teaching school in New Hampshire. And I don't know what became of Thomas Foote. When he returned a few years later, minus the hat, but still with tight leather breeches, he filled out his festival performance blank under the name of James Gamble Rogers. He explained when he came to the festival that there was already a famous folk singer by the name of Jimmy Rogers. The next time he appeared, minus leather breeches, he brought Jim Ballou. That was in 1964 of Orlando, with him to play upright bass, and later Paul Champion appeared with him playing banjo. Each of these two talented men went on to have musical careers of their own and returned many times to the festival as featured performers. Although they would appear in their own time slot, you could be assured that all three, James, Jim, and Paul, would return on stage with Will McLean and bring everyone to their feet at the end of that set. Many times, even though we would not know in advance that Gamble was coming, we would always list his name so that if he showed up, he would have a spot on the program. Gamble had a soft spot in his heart for the festival and would arrive many times weary from road travel. In 1970, when he was living in Coconut Grove, he told us when he came to the festival that he always tried to make it fit into his busy schedule. Even when he had an agent, he instructed his agent to leave that weekend open, if possible, so he could perform here. Even though we might not know he was coming, his fans always knew, and they were here to welcome him each time he returned. When Cousin Thelma introduced her good friend Gamble, hundreds of fans were always here to welcome him back to the banks of the Suwannee and to listen to this gentle man, Florida's guitar player extraordinaire and wordsmith supreme, weave his magic one more time and to hear his new material. To Gamble Rogers goes a tremendous amount of credit for the success of this annual Florida Folk Festival. He always energized the program and was instrumental in raising an awareness of the legislature and the public's view that the festival was a state and national treasure. So what better place than here on these hallowed grounds than to induct James Gamble Rogers into Florida's Artist Hall of Fame? It gives me great pleasure, as one who counts herself blessed to have known this gentle human being, to introduce Jane Sims of St. Augustine. She's another one of Gamble's oldest fans. She's a native-born Floridian and a storyteller from St. Augustine. She first saw Gamble when he was performing in the ancient city at the Old Trade Winds and has been a fan ever since. She worked with Gamble during the early 90s to organize and produce the St. Augustine Storytelling Festival, and this collaboration established a friendship with Wayne Sims, the general manager of the Cross and Sword Amphitheater. Wayne and Jane now enjoy telling folks about how Gamble played a great part in enabling a budding romance between them, which led to marriage and the ultimate evolution of the storytelling Sims. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Jane Sims.
Thank you, Barbara. This is a great night for Florida. The message I'm going to read to you was transcribed in Palm Beach, Florida. I'm sorry that I cannot be in Florida for this wonderful and long-deserved event. But to put it in a Gamble-esque phrase, I have a gig up in Yankee Land. One of the untold but essential qualities of life as a troubadour is that you teach your trade to those you feel deserve and can handle the knowledge of performing. Gamble was my teacher. Our classroom was his fastback Mustang, or a bar stool at the Trade Winds, or a bench in the Peacock Park in the Coconut Grove. It was in these spots that Gamble offered up his wisdom to an up-and-coming folk singer from the Gulf Coast. In bar owners' terms, I was the opening act, and he was the headliner. But in my mind, I was the apprentice, and he was the master. Gamble Rogers taught me how to move an audience with dialogue and delivery as much as with music. I never tired of listening to him expound about the Maitland Turkey Farm Massacre or deliver a history lesson on the Seminole chief, Osceola. As we continued down our respective paths, we saw less and less of each other, but stayed in touch as good friends do. He had settled into a quieter routine, teaching and doing festivals around Florida. I was trying to hold down the fort of the troubadours that was being bombarded constantly by pop culture. I attribute a lot of my ability to remain true to my vision to Gamble Rogers and what he taught me. Gamble's untimely death affected us all. He has gone over to the other side where the guardian angels dwell and has, in all likelihood, become one. I feel privileged to have spent time with him. And I know I am a better person and performer for it. Those of us who knew Gamble well, his family and friends, have known his talent and his heart for a long time. Now, hopefully, many other Floridians who were not so lucky will have the opportunity to know the work of an amazing troubadour and a historical Floridian, James Gamble Rogers, the newest member of the Florida Artist Hall of Fame. This message is signed, sincerely, Jimmy Buffett. Thank you for the honor of reading this.
A little deeper the stars. He went down into the water, helped save a drowning man. When he left this world, holding out his hand.
Thank you all for those wonderful comments that were made, and I'd like to also thank Jimmy Buffett for his remarks. They are very, very meaningful, and particularly for the song. They did a great job. I'd like to also thank Doug Goss for his assistance in planning tonight's ceremony. Established by the Florida Legislature in 1986, the Florida Artists Hall of Fame is the highest and most prestigious cultural honor that can be bestowed upon an individual in this great state. It's reserved for those who have demonstrated significant contribution to the arts in Florida and have received national and/or international recognition through achievements in an artistic discipline. Previous inductees include musicians and performers like Ray Charles, writers like Zora Neale Hurston, Tennessee Williams, and they have had a great deal of significance in our history here in this great state. But I must say that since being Secretary of State over the past 4 years, it's been a great pleasure for me to, in 1996, have inducted Will McLean, and now tonight, a very, very significant figure for all of Florida, Gamble Rogers. It's truly an honor to officially induct Gamble Rogers into the Florida Artists Hall of Fame. And Nancy, if you'd come forward to accept this sculpture with the respect and gratitude of the entire Florida Department of State, and all of you who are the friends of the Florida Folk Festival.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Secretary Morgan. I am so pleased to be here. I haven't been back to this festival since just after Gamble died. Isn't this a wonderful event? You know, this is what folk music and art is all about. It's the sharing between the audience and the artist. It's the epitome of creativity. When Gamble composed his songs, he never did it on paper. He always did it on stage with an audience. Every story he wrote was a joint effort between the people who loved him and his own incredible imagination and creativity. And in my opinion, this festival is the epitome of that. And I'm so proud to be here to receive this award. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just one of the debts I owe to Gamble Rogers is that he introduced me to the music of Will McLean with this song. My name's Glenn Geiger. I would like to introduce my friends, Sandra Jemison, Mary Ann Dinella.
Chief Osceola wept for his people and his golden land. His body had not slept. Then Wildcat said, "Oh, chief, I beg you go with me to stand against our mortal foe." But Osceola raised his proud head high, said, "Do this ere I die, Wildcat brother, to the grassy waters. Take the Seminole, there no white man can invade to leave you lying dead and cold. I shall not live among such evil men who mock the sign of truth, this flag of white, and honor not their given sacred word. My name shall be the light that burns in every warrior's soul. In dark and hidden reaches, they will never drive us from our land, nor drain our blood like leeches. My spirit walks with those of you who die, and those of you who always will remain upon this blood-stained, blessed, flowered land must fight and fight again. My spirit walks with those of you who die, and those of you who always will remain upon this blood-stained, blessed, flowered land must fight and fight again.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping us celebrate the life and times of Gamble Rogers, and I hope you enjoy the Folk Festival this year and look forward to seeing you next year. Thank you very much.
place where I could listen to the lullaby of the rivers. For now and then there will arise out of the waters Indian spirits to tell me how they got their names and sing the lullaby of the river. Apluaha Ichita. Swanee are singing the lullaby of the river. Oh, you can hear what they are saying. You can hear them all singing the lullaby of the rivers. The moving water makes the music. The pureness creates the healing. The reflections give up the secrets to the lullaby of the rivers. Apalachicola, Wakala, Wasiso, Silla, Caloosahatchee, Kissimmee, Aplachee, Choctahatchee, the Conalahatchee and the Swanee are singing the lullaby of the rivers. Aklawaha, Itchatuckney, Econfina with Lacoochee, Apalachicola, Wakala, Wasisosilla, Caloosahatchee, Kissimmee, Aklawaha, Choctahatchee, the Conalahatchee and the Swanee are singing the lullaby of the river.
Thank you, folks. Lullaby of the Rivers is one of the tunes from my new CD. The CD contains songs, all about Florida, and I've dedicated the work to Gamble and Will. We're going to do I'd like to do another tune from the CD. See if we got Jolene's vocal mic working yet. Ever since Gamble and Will were both inducted into the Florida Artists Hall of Fame, I've always had a lot of people ask me what it was like riding around 30 years ago with Gamble and Will, and that's how far we go back. Gamble and Will were both amongst my first friends when I moved to St. Augustine. I tell everybody it was a lot of different things. It was mostly a lot of fun. Gamble had that old Ford Mustang that, when it came off the showroom floor, it must have been a real pretty coral green, but that car had been rode hard and put up baked in the Florida sun, and all that enamel flaked off and the coral green kind of faded to the color of split pea soup. Folks, this was a car that was rode so hard you about had to get it up 60 miles an hour just to get the headlights to come on. Gamble had congenital rheumatoid arthritis. Riding in that thing was uncomfortable, so he yanked the front seats out and installed these big leather seats from a Lincoln Continental. Pretty slick. Gamble come pick me up at my house up behind the old sugar mill. We drive down to the Tradewinds Tropical Saloon and pick up Will. Will would get in the back seat with the guitar and start singing songs and telling stories about Florida. And if he was too drunk to do that, we'd just let him drive and one of us get back there. All right, we're cooking.
Standing by my side, little Lucy gonna be my friend till the day she dies. Little Lucy, she's a pal of mine.
Folks, if we'd leave St. Augustine, drive down to Bunnell, hang a right turn on Highway 11, start heading south. I remember one time we were crossing over Middle Haw Creek. And there was a whole bunch of cattle grazing in along the water line, but what really caught our attention, Gamble's mind and Will's, was this bull that was roaming around the field in a rather sporting manner, a manner that would leave even the most casual observer look upon the event with great admiration. Even I was forced to ask Gamble. I said, Gamble, I wonder what it is they're feeding that bull. Gamble said he didn't know the name of it, but it kind of tasted like chocolate. He had some in the glove compartment, by golly. When we're not doing original material, we like to recreate some of the music that was played around Florida back in those thrilling days of yesteryear. So come with us now. Back to the times when air was clean, sex was dirty. Gasoline was probably, 10, 11 cents a gallon, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
boy. I can't deny my name, deny my name. A whining boy, I can't deny my name. You can pick it up and shake it like a sweet stepping chain. Just a whining boy, and I can't deny my name. Oh, mama, mama, mama. Hey, mama, look at sis. Mama, mama, hey, mama, look at sis. Oh, take a look at sis. Mama, mama, take a look at sis. She's out on the levee doing a double twist. Just a whining boy. I can't deny my name. Oh, let me play, boys. Sister, 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 your dirty little sow. Oh, sister, 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 your dirty little sow, your dirty little sow. Sister, sister, your dirty little sow. Hey, you're trying to be a bad girl, but you don't know how. Just a whining boy, I can't deny my name. All right, folks, this is how they do it in New Orleans. Sweet slave and chain, just a whining boy. I can't deny my name.
Thank you. So we'd head on down to Highway 11 till we hit 40, made another right turn, started heading west, gone over to Ocklawaha County. Gamble said it was such a primitive place, they had a rabbi by the name of Bubba. So primitive, they had their own alphabet, their own form of hieroglyphics. Why, their symbol for a man was a straight line, a symbol for a woman, a perfect circle. Their symbol for a home was a square with a straight line and a circle in it. Their symbol for trouble was a square, straight line, and two circles. Oh, you little people, take your hats off to me. You know I'm just an old ragtime millionaire. I said I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a ragtime millionaire. Oh, you little people, take your hats off to me, because I'm a ragtime millionaire. I'm going to take my sweetie to a ball tonight. Make them boys treat her right. You know we'll go round about half the night. I don't mean to start no fight. Oh, you little people, take your hats off to me, because I'm a ragtime millionaire. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a ragtime millionaire.
solid gold. Make them boys look icy cold. I brush my teeth with diamond dust. I don't care if that banquet bust. Now all you little people take your hats off to me, cause I'm a ragtime millionaire. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a ragtime millionaire. All you little people take your hats off to me, cause I'm a ragtime millionaire. Boys say I'm gonna be late driving a soul 28. Some boys say I'm gonna be last, but all I gotta do is step on the gas. And all you little people take hats off to me, cause I'm a ragtime millionaire. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a rag. I'm a ragtime millionaire. All you little people take hats off to me, cause I'm a ragtime millionaire. Oh, I'm a ragtime millionaire. I'm a ragtime. I'm a ragtime billionaire. I'm a ragtime millionaire. All you little people take your hats off to me, cause I'm a ragtime billionaire.
All right, thank you all so much. There's lots of great music planned for you here this evening, folks. It's been a real pleasure to play for you. Don't forget the Gamble Rogers Folk Festival, the first weekend of every May. This was our third year this year. Something I know I speak for all the founders when I say that our wildest dream is that long after we're gone, that part of St. Augustine will be converted to Ocklawaha County.
In my shoes, I'm heading up to Highlands, got a case of wandering shoes. I got Smoky Mountain fever, mama, got them traveling blues. You know I'm sitting here in Florida, beneath those winter skies. Snow clouds fly by the moon, tighten up my coat, think of you. You know I'd give anything to tag along, just to see those highlands once again. Well, I'm headed up to Highlands, got a wonder in my shoes. I'm headed up to Highlands, got a case of wandering. I got Smoky Mountain fever, mama, got them traveling blues. Hey, you know some folks think it gets warm down here, but hey, let me tell you, there's something they don't know. You know a lonely man can get just as cold as newly laid snow. It's a lonely cold that'll follow a man wherever he may go. Well, I'm headed up to Highlands, got a wandering in my shoes. I'm headed up to Highlands, got a case of wandering shoes. I got Smoky Mountain fever, mama.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chip Harrington.
Oh,
craft, man. Well, I'm headed up to Highlands, got a wandering in my shoes. I'm headed up to Highlands, got a case of wandering shoes. I got Smoky Mountain fever, mama, got the Tampa blues. I got Smoky Mountain fever, mama, got the Tampa blues.
Thank you all. Love playing for you. You're going to have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
Bob Patterson and friends. Another hand for Bob. Big Doug, Chip, and Jolene. I want to make sure that you know that Bob has...